Hey, this is Eric. Welcome to Podcast Hell. We're not reading any comments or Apple Podcast reviews in the show today because I'm pre-taping these for the Thanksgiving holiday coming up. The next time I'll be able to read that stuff on the show will be December 5th. If you have not yet, go to YouTube at Eric Helwig. Leave a comment on one of my podcast episodes. Also, if you haven't done an Apple Podcast review, do that. On today's episode, we have Jay Light, very funny comedian. You know him from Roast Battles. Really cool having Jay on the show. He also did America's Got Talent with me back in the day. So enjoy the episode. Thank you.
Girl, we're about to go somewhere odd now. Time's to rise and elevation starts to drop down. A little secret, don't kiss and tell, you're so bad. I'll probably see you in hell. Welcome to hell, baby. This is Podcast Hell.
Do you we care about the about Alamo?
I mean, I've been there. It's fine.
It's San Antonio, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that actually like an important thing if you're from Texas to be like?
You like, have to. You go. It's your. It's like a guaranteed field trip.
But Texas is huge.
Yeah.
What if you're in the farthest part of Texas? They're like,
they'll make the time.
You'll go like on a 6 hour trip.
I forget. Where are you from?
I'm from all over. My dad was in the Army.
Okay.
So I also remember the Alamo.
So I don't know if you experienced this, depending on where you were around, like, certain times for education.
Okay.
We had, in 7th grade and in 4th grade, that's exclusively dedicated to Texas history.
Really?
And I don't think it's like that in other states.
No.
But we had
it's not
two
even
full
a,
years.
It's not even a little bit like that. In
I didn't
other
think
states.
It was.
No.
But we had two full years dedicated to Texas history.
And I can also say that because I was in a new school pretty much every year until high school.
Oh, so you definitely know then.
Yeah, and there was never a time where we were like, all right, everybody, Louisiana week.
What did you learn in 7th grade, history-wise?
In 7th grade, I have to think where I was. I was in Virginia. But I was in. I did go to a private school in 7th grade.
Oh, see, that's different.
So I was learning not to touch my penis.
Yeah.
It was the history of people touching their penis too much and being smitten by God. That was...
That's a very... See, we didn't have any of that because I went to public schools.
Okay, yeah. So you guys were like, here's how you put on a condom. You guys had real...
Oh, no, it's public school in Texas, so we keep it still... God still shows up.
But he's got a gun.
It's just extracurricular. Yeah.
Yeah.
God's not showing up on school hours, but after... Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
He's showing up. He's the sheriff of your penis.
Were you, like, a religious kid?
I was.
Okay. What gin were you rolling with?
I was baptized... And raised Presbyterian, mostly.
Okay.
My mom was Catholic. We dabbled in Catholicism for a little bit.
A little dab.
A little sprinkle. Well, my mom's side of the family is all from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we had, after Katrina, we had some of the family come and stay with us. So we did a little Catholicism stint while they were around.
Okay.
They were all Catholics.
So, like, out of deference to what they were going through, you were like, we'll have guilt now.
But I think it was right around the time when my mom was like shopping for churches anyway, because she had a problem with something that happened at my church.
But like with the church or with the religion?
With the church.
Oh, like the specific church.
Oh, yeah. My mom, never a problem with religion.
Okay. That's so
interesting. Never met a religion she didn't like, except for most of the non-Christian ones.
Yeah, because like, are you religious now or no?
No.
Okay. I mean, we're a comic. We're our God is the laugh.
Yeah. I pray for the next set, and that's it.
No, because I'm like, whenever, I know people that have switched religions,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, well, the second you like drop off the first religion, I'm like, how are you not just done with religion?
You're not.
Some people are like, maybe there's a better one, and they just keep moving from religion to religion.
I do think from, like, within the different sects of Christianity, you can make an easier... It's more of a lateral move, if anything.
Yeah.
Like, Catholicism is really more, like, Old Testament guilty, and then all of the, like, evangelical-based versions of Protestantism that were around where I grew up, it's a dime a dozen. It's just a matter of, like, you know, which marginalized group you hate.
Or who, like, who's the most charismatic leader trying to bang all the women in the church?
How big is your church? That's a big one. I grew up in megachurch country.
Oh, man. Those are...
All sorts.
I've been to those.
What do you think?
It's a weird feeling.
It's very strange.
It's very strange, and it's I don't like the big organ. Kind of freaks me out.
Oh, see, I didn't have any of those. I'm thinking
Well, okay, you guys probably have a fucking
You're thinking
band.
Of like a cathedral, yeah.
Like a band.
I'm talking not on the scale, but like Righteous Gemstone style, where it's like modern.
So you're like in the Astrodome.
I mean, like, not quite, you know. Like... We're not Olstein numbers where I grew up, but yeah. I've seen that life. Because it's also super vague. I went to... After a while, there's a certain amount of, like, there's a certain level of church where it does not say what kind of Christianity flavor they're serving there.
Oh, really?
You know? Like,
it's just, like, the pastor's leading it.
It's, yeah, so you go, like, when I was growing up, we went to this place that was called White's Chapel, not White's Chapel. White's Chapel was a Methodist church we went to later. White's Chapel UMC, which is United Methodist Church, but we also went to this one that was, like, South Lake Boulevard Presbyterian Church. But there are some that are where I grew up that are, like, Gateway Church.
Yeah, and they're not, like, they're not specifying what they
right.
do.
Anchor Church, that kind of stuff.
That's so... Part of me is like, I can kind of almost get behind that a little bit more than like a full-on religion. It's less about, because the religions are like what this pope wanted to fuck this lady and wasn't allowed to. So now there's this, that seems more arbitrary than like, I like this guy over here. They have nicer songs.
Yeah.
Like it actually seems to make more sense to just go based on the feeling you get in the place.
That's kind of, I mean, that's, I think ultimately what ended up going on with my folks.
Yeah.
When they switched, because we switched when I was like sophomore, junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And that was like, at that time, it was too late for me to stick with a new group. And I was like, I don't really give a shit about this. I'm fine.
Okay.
And also, I'd also been like a little bit more aware of the hypocrisy that bothered me about like the kinds of Christians that I saw a lot of in my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Growing up, and I was like, I'm fine. I'll be good. I'm going to do speech and debate and smoke a little pot in my friend's basement. I think it'll be okay.
Do you ever feel, how old are you now?
33.
Okay.
It's my Jesus year.
That's what I wasn't going to say that, but that's the truth.
Yes. That's why I'm growing out my hair and learning carpentry.
Do you, cause I'm like, I went pretty hard, no religion for a while. And then now, like, I'm 38, and I'm like, I'm not going back to religion, but I think I might be coming back around on there might be, like, a force that is greater than us in the universe or whatever. But I don't think it cares about – I actually hope it doesn't care too much about what's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it wouldn't have to answer for, like, you know, fucking – tidal waves destroying cities in fucking Indonesia. Like, I don't want to have to, like – If there is a God, be like, oh, thanks for letting me in here. Also, what was up with all the fucking child, like SIDS episodes with infants? Like, why were you doing that, too?
Hey, God, how come you... I also love your references, SIDS. I haven't thought about SIDS in a long time.
Now you'll,
hey, God, what's up with those Tylenol murders that you let happen?
there's not gonna... Yeah, like, it's almost better if, like, if God is, like... the father or whatever, it's like, it's better if he's like an absent father. That would actually make a lot more sense for why things are the way they are.
Well, that's after 7 days, God went out for cigarettes and never came back.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
That's in, it's one of the Gnostic gospels.
Okay. There's an agnostic gospel?
No, just good with no A. G-N-O-S-T-I-C.
Gnostic. What does that mean?
It's like non-canon stuff from the Bible, apparently.
What, like Bible B-sides?
Kinda, yeah. I mean, from my understanding, there's some people who argue that it's like fan fiction, basically.
Oh my God, have I never heard of this before?
I mean, they're not really the most, I feel like they're kind of suppressed, but people don't really want to talk about them.
Oh my God, it's like Matthew Unplugged.
Yeah.
You know,
this is it's the Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, he like covers Nirvana and then tells you that Jesus was actually a black woman. And
exactly.
You're like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds wild.
Mm-hmm. But I never, that's the thing. I never really like read those. Though I will say weirdly enough, around the time that I stopped giving a shit about religion,
yeah,
I read one of my favorite books, which is all about supposedly may have happened to Jesus in between. It's a novel. It's clearly fiction. It's called Lamb. You ever heard of this guy, Christopher Moore? Okay.
No.
Great writer. Writes a lot of comedy books, comedy novels. He wrote this book called Lamb, the Gospel of, according to Biff, Christ's childhood pal.
It's, okay.
And all it's because right. in the regular Bible, either you see Jesus as a baby, and then you see him as like a 12-year-old, and then you see him as an adult, and there's all this blank time in between.
Yeah.
So this novel is like, all right, well, Jesus had to like learn about sin, right? So he watched his friend fuck.
It's like Jesus getting blown at a Wendy's.
No, Jesus did not get blown at a Wendy's. He watched his friend get blown at a Wendy's.
Oh my God.
Because he couldn't experience it himself. Jesus, so he had to learn.
Jesus. Wow.
But he did fuck Mary Magdalene in the book.
I think he, it feels like, I hope they did. I mean, they had such a connection, and I thought that was like one of the more beautiful parts of the Bible.
Was it Mary Magdalene?
Yeah.
Their love story?
He's like, get over here, you slut. Yeah. Let's give the lady a break.
If you like Nicholas Sparks, you're going to love that chunk of the Bible.
I think it's a great chunk of the, I think it's top five Bible chunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you think you're never going back? You
know, no, I'm sort of in the place where you are now, where I'm like, yeah, maybe there's something, but I don't think that there's like direct influence.
It's such a weird thing. It's like, because there are moments, you know, you get high or you have sex, right, and then right after, you're just like, there must be a thing.
That's the only time you can have. That's how you, when you get older, you're like in the post nut clarity. That's when you see God going like tipping his cap to you.
Being or like, there's, hey, no. Or there's just like weird, just like weird shit that like, you know, whatever. We don't got to get into it, but you know, like the unexplained stuff that happens in your life where you go, well, that could have been coincidence, but then somebody else has something that like mirrors it, and you're just like, sometimes it does feel like there's a thing. But I just always come back to, like, whenever someone's like, God is good, I'm like, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually been pretty bad almost exclusively.
Yeah.
And up until very recently. And even now, people think it's bad, and it is bad for a lot of people.
That's why I think it's better to just be like, hey, who's that God? Where is he?
Yeah.
And not worry about it.
I mean, I do feel the same way. I don't think, I don't know why we're talking about God for the first 12 minutes of the podcast.
This is your podcast.
I did start it. I was like, you're from Texas? Let's talk about God. No, we don't have to fucking talk about God anymore if you don't want to.
I mean, what questions do you have?
I don't have any more questions. I grew up religious too. You get it.
What flavor of Christianity were you?
Catholic.
Oh, see, I don't really know a whole lot about Catholicism other than there's the like, it's guilt focused.
It's pretty guilt focused.
You get fed instead of eating yourself. And
you guys eat yourself?
Yeah.
You self serve?
You self serve.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. And do you believe that it's God?
I mean, it's supposed to be.
No, but like this is important because with ours, I was an altar boy, I would ring a little bell, I'd go ding 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 ding, and that would mean that this piece of bread became
God.
Jesus.
I think for us, if memory serves, because I always did it where you take the piece of bread and then you dip it in the wine. But it was grape juice for us. It was grape juice.
Yeah.
We weren't fucking party
animals. There's a little part of me was like, if he says hummus, I'm going to be like, why wasn't I raised in whatever church?
We had, and you dip that, and when you dip it, that's when it becomes...
Fire roasted.
Combo.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so the dipping is what made it...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah, we would do like you would get the thing. Although they could give it to you in your hand.
Right.
But I always took it straight to the mouth. I thought that was funnier.
Which is the way they wanted
That's
you
what,
to
And
take
then you
it.
Could then you would go to the side and there'd be a wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then like if there was
shared wine cup.
Well, you would wipe it.
That's not going to do anything. This is not going to do anything.
I don't know.
I'm not
a germ guy. Germs don't bother me. I'm like, whatever. If I catch something, I catch something.
I mean,
that's why I loved being locked down during COVID.
Realistically.
I'm all about it.
If we're dipping stuff, our fingers are getting much closer. And I can already see there's like little bread chunks.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's probably some people who came away with like, you know, their fingers had gotten into the vat of juice. And there's going to be some weird shit on there.
Oh, yeah. Fingers in the juice is too much.
I can't.
But just like a little sip with a wipe, I feel like I'm... I mean, now that I think about it, there's backwash.
Oh, yeah.
I've never thought about that before.
No, you're getting so much backwash.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't do that anymore.
No, they. I mean, as far as I can tell, they still do. What else are you going to do? You got to see
in Catholic church. Well, they could do the little, like, because there were other churches I went to. I mean, like I said, we moved a lot. So, like.
So you've been to all sorts of churches.
I've been to all sorts of churches, yeah. And, like, there were some churches that had, like, a little glass, a little shot glass.
I've done the shot glass.
You just
knock
those back.
Man, I went to a Catholic wedding a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And by a little while ago, I mean, like, 7 or 8 years ago. So my memory might be a little shot on this.
Those babies are long.
Those are long babies.
Those are long. It's a long baby. It's tough. We didn't have any religious stuff with ours.
Oh, that's good.
But like it was a lot of my friends did. And like I remember I went to one that was a full Catholic service has like at the very end, they're like, You do? Okay, we're good. And it's the wedding is like not the focus. It's like they have a mass together as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the idea is.
That was like the one I went to, where it was one in New Orleans, cousin of mine and his wife, Catholic mass. They were kneeling the whole time, them and the wedding party.
Was it
all
fun?
Kneeling.
I feel like a New Orleans Catholic might be more fun than like a Northern Virginia Catholic.
I mean, afterwards, sure. My guess is you're probably not getting a second line parade out of your Northern Virginia Catholic church.
Did you guys do it to the bar?
Afterwards? Yeah. You do a second line. You got to do the second line.
We fucking love New Orleans, man.
New Orleans is great.
That's like our favorite. Like that's our favorite spot. In a dream world where we don't have to pursue comedy or live near comedy or worry about where our family is, we're in New Orleans.
New Orleans is a lovely city.
Yeah,
it's a shame that they don't really have for a major city. They don't really have a comedy scene, except for that one club that's like run by a guy who got chased out of another comedy scene.
Oh, is that guy with the big beard?
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
Let's not
say his name.
I've never met him.
I've met him.
But I've heard.
He's not a good guy.
Well, there you go.
He also is like the creepiest looking dude of all time.
Which, hey.
We're not going to say his name. No, but like he wrote a book. They all write a book.
Of course they write a book.
He's got a book. It's called like Improv in You or whatever. And he looks like the fucking, he looks like the Unabomber. His guy, he got a full beard, like down to his fucking dick. His eyes are like fucking red on fire with hate.
Oh boy.
And it's like, that's the sleeve cover. And I remember just looking at it being like, is this book called I'm Gonna Rape You? Like, why would you take this? Why would you choose this photo to advertise yourself to improvise? It was crazy.
I've never imagined why that would be a good idea.
It was weird. We went down there to New Orleans for a vacation. We were still doing improv at the time.
Okay.
She still does improv.
Yes.
I no longer do improv.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stop.
I'm on my way out.
I know. You're 33.
Yeah.
When you get to 35, you're like, this has to stop.
Really? Yeah. There's a point.
It's the emails.
You get emails?
We had emails and texts.
Oh, we didn't have any of those. I'm in a WhatsApp chat it does blow up a lot.
Yeah, and you're just like at work, you're looking at how there's no money in your bank account, and then someone's like, doodaloo, and it's a joke about a fake name for your team from 6 months ago. You're like, I have to quit. And
these days, it's arguing about what form of improv are we going to do?
Are you guys doing a deconstruction?
We actually currently are doing a deconstruction. But yeah.
Well, then you'll do the movie, and then you'll think about killing yourself, and then you'll quit.
I mean, we're skipping to the last step.
Okay, all right.
I see the end game in sight.
It's a lovely art form.
For people in their 20s or people in their 50s.
No, it's a shitty art. But it is fun. Like I think you get a lot of that out of improv early. In the first couple of years, especially like if you're new. Because I didn't do theater or anything in high school or college.
Okay.
So like when I was at New York and I was at this place called The Pit and I was on a house team there. And like those first couple of years, you're like, oh, this is how you like work with people and be creative and, you know, hook up with half the chicks. Like, it was fun, nice thing to do. And then, like, you get 5 years in and you're, like, you're very busy with improv shows and practice. And you're, like, wait, I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, all your friends that, like, started writing sketches or doing comedy or creating stuff, they're all, like, you should come over here.
Yeah.
My problem was like I started like commercial acting from it.
So I was like,
oh, maybe I can make a living doing this. And I did for a little bit. But then I was like, this isn't sustainable. And also I'm not happy.
Then it's a good reason to get out.
That's the reason to get out.
I have had an epiphany recently where I was like, because I've got this other stuff going on now. I do want to, by the way, I'm circling back. I want to hear about your New Orleans experience.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
But now I'm also like, while I'm thinking about it, because I was like, I have this very recent epiphany. Because I've got this game show that I just started doing like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And obviously I came in doing stand-up as like the first comedy thing I ever did. I'm doing that long before I like, you know, I dabbled around and doing like, oh, I did like whatever the high school, like Whose Line Is It Anyway style short form improv. But then I like did it. I did stand up for so long and I could still doing stand up and that's like my main love in comedy. But then I was like, all right, I'll learn how to do improv. I feel like I got to do it for the commercial acting thing I moved out here. And then I was like doing stuff at the Pack and I wanted to be on a house team. I'd never been on a house team at a theater before. And I was like, all right, this is cool. And now I'm at a point where it's like, I got to really be, careful with how I use my time.
Yeah.
And I had this moment today where I'm on one of the many emails that I do get. I get an occasional motivational email.
Okay. From like a service that you're paying for?
I read the book Atomic Habits and I'm on that guy's email list.
Okay. All right.
And I mostly delete the emails sight unseen.
Yeah.
But it popped up in my inbox today. And one of the things that was in the email was like, you can really only spend really focusing on one or two things that you really love, like outside of any other normal life stuff.
Your family or your job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm making the right choice to like remove myself from the equation of this thing that's like, I like doing it, but like at this point, what am I getting out of it?
I feel like I've said this on the podcast a million times now. But, you know, whatever. The listeners can hear it again. There's this guy, Thomas Sowell, and he talks about how in life there's no solutions, only trade-offs.
Mm.
So all you're ever doing is trading off one thing for another.
Yeah.
And once you start to look at it like that, you accept that, like, oh, by focusing on this, I am deciding to not focus on this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like, it's my podcast, it's stand-up, but, like, acting, improv, like, sketch writing, all that stuff has kind of like, it's less important to me than just doing these couple things well.
Mm-hmm.
And then if one of those changes, then I have more time for other stuff.
There you go.
But like once you, it's trying to do everything where you just become a shitty version of eight things.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're also just fucking tired. And I don't know. Are you rocking a relash right now?
I'm engaged. I'm wedding planning right now.
Oh, dude.
So,
well, that's a huge thing.
It's huge.
You can't be on an improv team and getting married.
I can't.
You can't be doing that. You gotta.
Oh my God. We're not gonna have a religious ceremony. I already know that.
Yeah.
I feel like my family will be jarred at this wedding compared to hers. Her family is super non-traditional, and mine is the opposite.
Your family's pretty religious and stuff.
Yeah. My sister, not so much, but my parents, yes. And all of my dad is only child. His relatives who are coming to the wedding, I think, are sort of like, you know, culturally religious, culturally Christian. Yeah. My mom's side of the family is like, that's the New Orleans Catholics.
Yeah.
And they party hard, but they're also,
they feel bad about it.
Yeah. They confess a lot about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, look, it's like we didn't do a religious thing with ours. I think most of our family was cool with it. The people that weren't, it's like you just have to, I don't know. I feel like once you're there, my experience getting married was like, I don't know. It was more important to Liz to get married.
Okay.
I was more like, Let's just see how it goes until we have kids.
How long were you two together for before you got married?
7 years before we got married.
We're getting married on our 7-year anniversary.
Great. Way to fucking, you gotta
synergy.
Drag it out. Fucking.
We get all of our first marriage energy out before we even got married.
Yes. You should get married, like the feeling right before you get married should be like, like that, like if you can get to that level, that's I think perfect. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like the wedding was the best day of my life. And okay, it's because I think I was like, you know, my parents got divorced and shit. So I was like, not into it. Okay, it's important to my wife. As we planned more and more, I was like, well, that would be fun. I do like, you know, I do like the song Dancing Queen. Put it on the list.
Song.
It's a great song. So is Heart of Glass from Blondie. We did Dancing Queen. Well, that's, you fucking throw it on there, man.
Okay.
Or maybe listen to it first.
I'll listen to it.
Heart of Glass, Blondie. That's a good early dance song to get some of the olds out on.
Okay.
Get out there, loosen up the hips.
There was a time when we were thinking we were going to get a whole ABBA cover band.
Really?
We have since gone away from that route.
Well, you know, you can just get ABBA now.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could.
They're fucking back.
They're back.
They reunited.
They just got nominated for a bunch of Grammys last year.
They reunited after 78 years of not being a band. Mm-hmm. They're like all 90.
But they're still kicking.
They're still kicking. And the ladies are still pretty fucking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Not like fake hot when people are like drooling all over some 90-year-old actress. They're actually pretty hot.
Helen Mirren style.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Helen Mirren can get it.
She's fine.
She's fine.
No, she's fine.
No,
not,
she's
not fine. She's okay.
Did you see her in Fast and Furious 9?
No.
That'll change your mind.
It probably won't.
Yeah, it will.
I'll probably feel exactly the same way, which is like she's a mildly attractive elderly woman.
Yeah, give yourself
point.
A little chance.
Okay, I take it back. She's the hottest chick in the world.
I feel like when you're thinking of Helen Mirren, you're actually thinking of Meryl Streep, who is fine. But Helen Mirren.
Wait. Meryl Streep is fine, too?
No. She's fine.
She's fine.
She's fine.
Okay.
Helen Mirren is fine.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like a dickhead. They're all hot. You're all beautiful. By the way, Helen and Meryl are both friends of the pod.
Avid fans.
I'm going to try to get them. I'll try to get them on a three-person pod here soon.
Whoa, two chicks at the same time?
Ooh, I don't know. I got to take my time. What is he doing over there?
I don't know.
He's going through the dresses.
He's eating something in the closet. No, he's just standing there. He's just standing there looking at the wall.
He's just hanging out.
If I may ask.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Wedding on the day. Because I feel like there's always some shit that goes down on your people's wedding days that you just didn't plan for.
Mm-hmm.
What happened for you guys?
Nothing.
Really?
It went perfect.
Everything went out of hitch.
Nope. Literally, everybody that confirmed they were coming showed up.
Okay.
It was like I think we had like 90 people there. We did it at my mom's house in the backyard. They got a nice place. It's like rural Maryland.
Okay.
The weather was great. My sister sang the song when we came down with my brother played guitar. The DJ, everything was great. I had one of my friends. I hired a friend as the photographer.
Okay.
I had another friend as the DJ. No, we hired a regular DJ. My brother's friend was the bartender. It was cool because like even the people like working the wedding were like people that would have been on like our B or C list for who we would have invited. We literally knew everybody.
All right.
So it was just like, and it was great. And the people that came.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, people that came, everybody seemed happy. Food rocked. I didn't know I had celiac disease yet. So I got to eat fucking pasta.
Nice.
It's like the last event before I got diagnosed with that.
Okay. A good last hurrah.
It really was. I didn't know it was at the time.
Yeah.
But it was great, man. And then, you know, got fucking drunk. Yeah. It was awesome. It was just the best. There was a moment where we were dancing. Like, we did the first dance. Mm-hmm. And
what did you do for your first dance?
Till There Was You by the Beatles.
I am not familiar.
There were bells on a hill, but I never saw them singing.
Okay, now I know.
Yeah, that one.
Now I know.
Yeah, how horrifying was that?
It's all right.
It's pretty bad.
It was better than the AI one. I don't know. I haven't listened to the AI version.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. Like, but we were dancing to that song, all our families around, and I remember just having this feeling of like, I'm in space. I felt like I was dancing with my wife in space.
Oh, okay.
And I could have looked back and seen the Earth and, like, we were in the stars.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
The one advice we got from somebody was, like, at little moments in the wedding, like, pull your wife aside just, like, for even 15 seconds and check in with each other because it's, like, the day's so hectic, you're going to remember those little moments more than other stuff. So the next time we did that after the dance, I pulled her aside, like outside of the little tent, and we're just hanging out. And I was like, when we were dancing, did you feel like, and she was like, we were in space. I was like, yeah, I was in space. Like looking at the earth. She was like, I felt the exact same thing. I had that exact same vision in that moment.
Oh man.
It was so fucking cool. It's like, it's, cool. It must just be like, I'm curious what like the scientific, cause there's no God. So what's the, what's the scientific explanation for the, like, is it endorphins, adrenaline, whatever that was that like made us
the
both
sweet spot.
It was like a sweet spot of like, I'm not passing out, mm-hmm. but I'm virtually, I felt like I was hallucinating like from happiness.
Cool.
Anyway, this is all to be like, I'm not trying to set the bar this high for your wedding. I'm sure you'll have your moments too.
We'll see.
But like, I would say like, if you love your wife, you're going to have a great time.
Okay, great.
And it doesn't fucking matter what anybody thinks about anything.
Yes.
If you're like, someone's like, the cake isn't as purple as it's, nobody fucking cares. And once the wedding starts, everybody's fucking opinions, all the people that were like, you have to do this, you have to do that, they're sitting at a table eating food, not paying attention to that thing they were mm-hmm. freaking out about.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if that's you or maybe that's your wife or maybe you guys are chill about it, but whenever I talk to people who are freaking out about wedding planning, I'm like, just stop. Like,
we
all that matters is if your relationship, literally all that matters is if you should be getting married.
We got to, I think we're in like the best spot planning wise that we could be.
Yeah.
We got everything figured out, booked, everything set, except for like how people are going to go from the hotel to the venue. Everything else is like, we got deposits are paid. Spreadsheets are filled out, all that shit. It's all good.
Where
to
are
go.
You guys doing it?
Orange County. We wanted to do it locally, but
okay,
it's expensive around
it's
here.
It's very expensive around here. Yeah. We're in Orange County.
A farm. It's a nonprofit farm in Aliso Viejo.
A nonprofit farm in Loso Viejo?
Aliso Viejo.
Aliso Viejo. Yeah. I don't know where that is.
It's Irvine and John Wayne Airport. It's like 20 minutes from there.
You're like, it's on the runway of it's John Wayne Airport.
Right, you just pop right down. It's a beautiful farm surrounded by tarmac. It's like Laguna Beach is directly south of it.
Yeah.
So we're in sort of like the mountains.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really
That's
nice.
Great, man.
It's really beautiful.
When's the date?
Next July, July 13th.
Holy shit.
I know.
That's great, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I'm happy too. I'm excited. I can't. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're a good guy, so I'm like, I'm sure as long, the most important thing is you got a good girl.
Yes.
As long as that's what I tell everybody, like, like the people who are the most miserable planning their wedding, sometimes I'm just like, how do you feel about the person you're getting married to? Like, is that part of it?
Yeah.
Because like, as long as nobody fucking is paying attention to the mm-hmm. little shit. Like, it's, I don't know. My wife wasn't freaking out about stuff that much either, but, like, my mom and my sister helped plan the wedding, they were very, like, they're very detail-oriented, and somebody has to be that, but I remember having to be, like, you know, like, the important thing is that everybody's going to be there. Like, I kept saying that, which is probably douchey.
But somebody's got to say
someone's
that.
Someone's got to say it, because it's, like, I don't know, man, like, if it's going to be the best day, it's like, is it worth people being like stressed and miserable mm-hmm. for months leading up to it? Like, it's just a fucking party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a party for us.
It's a party for us. And the important part is seeing everybody's dumb smiling faces
exactly.
as you dance in space.
Yeah.
Everybody just wants to be in space dancing.
That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah. And check out Blondie's Heart of Glass.
I will. We'll put that on our list.
Well, listen to it first. To me, it's a can't miss.
Okay.
Let me sing it for you. Was I love? This podcast gets taken off YouTube for music copyright. They're like, his Beatles cover was too good.
Yeah.
We can't. He has to pay for that. All right. Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I am. Let me know how it goes.
I will.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I can't believe it's finally it's coming up so quick.
When did you propose?
March.
Oh wow! So you guys are doing it like a full like year and a half.
Yeah, we didn't want to plan. So what happened was I was working on a show, and then I'd had the ring. Like, she knew that we were going to be getting engaged. She picked it out. I'm basically, like, banned from doing surprises because I'm bad at planning surprises. And so I was like, hey, listen, when I wrap working on this season of MasterChef, we will go on vacation and then we'll come back, we'll be engaged. And she was like, great. So we're talking, okay. We're like hanging out. I'm like, hey, we're going to do this and this, and we're going to go on a hike, and something might happen on the hike. And then we're going to go get dinner.
And you get eaten by a bear, and then that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was tough to find a replacement wife, but I got there under the nick of time. And we were like, maybe we'll get married. All the things we'd seen were like, oh, everything's going to be booked out to like 2025. We were like, we're not going to worry about it. We had a couple other like weddings and big trips that we were going to go on. We came back from all that, and it was like May, and we were like, you know, we don't want to plan a wedding. We don't want to plan a party that's like a year and a half or 2 years from now. Let's get it as soon as we can. So July 13th, the place we went to, it looked up. It was like, hey, this is available. We were like, this is our 7 year anniversary. That's the universe talking. Let's go for it.
Love it. That's and awesome.
There
man.
We are.
You said MasterChef.
Yes.
So that means we can talk about that.
We totally can.
Okay, you know the dog's name.
Gordon. Yes.
You know what he's
named after my boss.
Named after your boss.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good guess. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell him when I see him this week. Yeah. Say, hey.
I'll give you a photo. Be like, this guy named after you. That's, yeah. I think it might be named after a different guy. Gordon. I think Gordon might be named after a different Gordon.
How many other? I can think of Gordon Ramsay, Gordon Lightfoot, who's a British.
I think
he's another British guy. All the Gordons I can think of. There's one Gordon.
Gordon Gecko.
Oh yeah,
from Wall Street. Good.
And then there's a Gordon Downs, who's a comic buddy of mine in San Diego.
It's Gordon Downs.
That you named it after Gordon Downs?
No. I think I might have named him after Alex Gordon, the left fielder for the Royals when they won the World Series. But I could be wrong.
You could be.
And I'm definitely wrong. It's your boss.
It's Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, Liz is like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, no, I think he's a baseball player. But I think we were just thinking about names. And Gordon's like, we like human names for dogs. We're a big fan of like Frank.
Okay.
The dog.
Yeah.
We want to take it further. We want to be like John.
That's a real.
Like just a fucking full on.
Yeah.
That should not be a dog's name. Human name.
Yeah,
dog.
Sure. Mark.
Mark.
I can't picture a dog named Mark.
I think it might be Mark. I think Mark.
Josh. Hey, Josh. Come here, boy.
Yeah. Josh Edelman. Friend of the podcast. Now the namesake of our next dog. No, I think, I do like, Gordon, I think, is like, not to pat ourselves on the back too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the perfect name for a pit bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a little, he seems vicious.
Yes.
But he's a little sweetie.
It's your boss. God damn it. It's definitely your boss.
That's my boss.
Yes.
That's Gordon. That's old GR.
Good guy.
Great guy.
Yeah, what are you going to be like? You know what? Huge piece of shit. Fucking hate him. Can't
Everything
wait to get fired.
You've seen and heard. It's accurate, baby. No, he's great. I mean, he's like, I remember, because I've worked for him. This is my, I'm working on the show right now. Our season that will air next summer. And it is my fifth season working on the show. And I still can't believe that like he's my boss. It's very surreal.
Yeah.
That like he knows my name and he like asks about comedy stuff and he like has the most energy I've ever seen a person have. And also he just like, hey, he just had another kid. The man's pushing 60.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like it.
And he doesn't.
Do you just work with him on MasterChef or his other shows too?
I worked with him on one other show called Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars that we just aired earlier this summer. And other than that, it's MasterChef and MasterChef Junior. But to me, that's like we shoot it basically at the same time. So
what is
me,
MasterChef Junior? Is that kids?
You've never seen MasterChef Junior?
MasterChef,
but with kids.
And is it really?
Yeah.
And he's yelling at the kids?
No, he's even nicer to the kids. It's a total, it's all of the things that you, the whole, yeah. I think the whole reason that you, we have the perception now of Gordon as a softie is because of MasterChef Junior.
Okay. I've never watched it. I've seen MasterChef. I didn't even know there was a MasterChef Junior.
Oh, you got to watch MasterChef Junior.
Well, it would be fun if there was a show where it was very young children cooking and him screaming at the children. Like, I know that can never happen.
He does a little screaming at the children.
A little bit.
Because there's a thing.
Shut it down.
There's a
to thing, like a fucking 4-year-old.
There's a thing that happens where sometimes, like, okay, so Gordon, before he made television, came up in restaurants. He was a chef. He worked in kitchens.
Yeah.
And the thing that, like, attracted him to the U.S. market, obviously, is the yelling and the screaming. And that's why Hell's Kitchen was the first show he made in the U.S., because it's him yelling and screaming at a bunch of chefs.
Yeah.
But anytime he is in, like, a restaurant-esque setting, that's when he turns into, like, primal Gordon Ramsay. And he goes into that vein. So, like, even when it's children cooking in a professional kitchen, just because it's kids doesn't mean that he's not going to be like, what are you fucking doing?
It's his, like, whatever, it's his spirit animal. It's like, it's his authentic self. Mm-hmm. You got to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is it Kitchen Nightmares?
Where he goes to old restaurants?
He has like 40 shows.
Yes.
So it's Kitchen Nightmares. He just did the diner that me and Liz was like right next to our apartment in Astoria.
Oh, yeah. I watched that episode.
Yeah. We used to call it, so it's called Bel Air Diner, mm-hmm. but we called it Sumer Diner because they spelled Summer, S-U-M-E-R on their
yes,
on
like
their
the
window.
Ancient civilization.
Yes. The Sumerian Diner.
Where you can summon Gozer, the Gozerian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to go. You know more about the Sumerians than I thought you would.
Well,
in that moment.
If you can remember enough from Ghostbusters, you can remember enough.
Is that who they are in Ghostbusters?
I think they're Sumerians. I know in The Exorcist, it's a Sumerian demon.
Oh.
Or an ancient Sumerian trickster god or some shit like that.
I've only seen the first Exorcist. I used to run up those stairs, by the way.
The Exorcist stairs?
Yeah. So, like, where the. Yeah. So I went to high school in D.C.
Oh, they're in D.C.
He goes out of a window in L.A. and falls downstairs in D.C.
Are they marked on the map? Because I live right in South Pasadena. That's where the Halloween house is.
Okay.
And that's all marked on Google Maps. It has like a review. It's got like the hedge from Halloween has like a 4.5-star review.
I don't know if it's marked on. I don't know. I don't know. It was high school when I was, I would row crew in Georgetown.
Okay.
And then we'd run this thing called the Loop, which was like 5 miles. No, it wasn't five. It was like 5 kilometers.
And you ran the stairs.
And part of the loop was you had to go, we had to do at least 2 up and down the Exorcist stairs.
And your head spun around and you threw up.
People did throw up.
Of course.
I mean, no joke. We would throw up on the side of the railing because it's fucking 3 stories straight up of stairs. I mean, it's
gnarly.
Crazy.
Yikes.
Yeah, and when you watch that scene, you're like, whoever that stunt guy is, there's no way he didn't get a little fucked up.
No.
No.
But I love watching a guy fall down the stairs.
Of course.
That's what you see John Wick 4 earlier this year?
I only see him on planes, so I don't know which ones I've seen.
Okay.
I think I've seen it.
One of the hardest I laughed in movies all year was there's a scene in John Wick 4 for your listeners, because you've seen it. But where he goes.
Listeners, shut the fuck up. Jay's telling a story.
He goes, he's in Paris. Yeah. He's running. He has to make it to the Sacré-Cœur by a certain, like, sunrise, or else he's going to get, he's going to explode or some shit like that. It's like a speed situation.
Yeah.
And he makes it to the top of the stairs.
Are they intentionally making it a speed situation?
I think they might be. It's
okay,
a subtle
that's
nod.
Great. I fucking love that.
He makes it to the top of the stairs. And this is a little fucking long set of stairs. It's like got to be like a mile long.
Yeah.
He gets to the top, and then he gets kicked off the top by a guy, big henchman. And then it's just literally like 2.5 minutes of John Wick just falling down the stairs. And
that's
it's
amazing.
So funny.
Yeah. I really don't think you can go wrong. It's comedically the funniest thing that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm debating whether or not I should tell a story about a guy I know that
fell down the stairs.
Well, he rolled down a hill.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Nah, I can't tell you.
Fine.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Maybe if I had a Patreon, this would be full Patreon. I'd be like, stay tuned for a story about my dad rolling down a hill. should I tell it? No. I won't.
Save it for...
I'll save it for...
Podcast Heaven, the Patreon only.
So this is not... It's not like we're in hell. That's not the idea.
I don't understand. Because we never even covered what the name refers to.
No. So it was like... I've said this so many times. It's... I was talking with a buddy who like mentioned a show that he like was pitching and or was in development and like maybe I could be a writer on it. And I'm like not really trying to be a writer anymore. Is my fucking volume up? Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I'm not really trying to be a writer. So I think I was like maybe like not as excited as I should have been for someone like saying that to me.
Sure.
And he's like, what the fuck is your deal, dude? I'm like, no, it's cool, man. I'm just like, I'm really trying to focus on like stand up and podcasts. So like, I'm definitely down and like, just, you know, let me know. Like, I'll, you know, just finding a nice way to be like, I'm not holding my fucking breath.
Sure.
To be a writer on a fucking NBC show.
Sure.
And he goes, well, what are you going to do? Just fucking jerk off with your friends and podcast hell for the rest of your life? And I was like, I think I'm going to rename my show Podcast Hell.
Yeah.
And I literally renamed the podcast that and did like a whole rebrand.
It's a good rebrand though.
I think it's fitting because it is hell in a way, but I also like it. Like I like doing shit on my own phone right there.
Yep.
And like, I don't like waiting for other people. Like it drives me. I have friends here that are so fucking talented and they're like, they're always like have a show in development. And one or two of them have gone, but they've been out here for a decade. I'm like, fuck, man, just go do stand up or like do shit where we can just make shit. Like, fuck waiting for other people to give you a green light. I get why like it's tough and to make money doing it this way, but I don't know. I'm a fan of like DIY, do it yourself.
Take it
just
to yourself.
Fucking put it out there. Who gives a shit if you don't have the huge audience? Like, for posterity's sake, I want to be able to look back when I'm dying and be like, if you go on YouTube, there's hundreds of comedy videos and content with like 12 views and most of them are my mom.
Yeah.
Check it out. I don't even know who I'm talking to in this case. I don't have kids. This is my kid that doesn't exist yet. I'm letting them know like
you have inherited this empire.
Yeah. And then my kid will look at it and be like, this is fucking not good. Just like delete the page. I don't know. How do you feel about that? Are you more like a put it out there guy? Or are you like,
Let
me get in there in the industry and throw my weight around in some generals?
I mean, listen, I've done that side and I have learned I'm not an industry darling. And I think if you're not an industry darling, then you're not going to be and you got to do the thing of putting it out yourself and being the DIY until you get to a point when they're like banging down your door.
Sure.
Like that's the only way. I think anything, if you are not like when I did Roast Battle, right? I was
which I've watched and they're
great time.
Yeah.
And
I could never do it. I'm very impressed that you've done that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could do it either. I started hanging out at Roast Battle when I was like maybe a year into living in LA. I'd been doing comedy for like 3 years seriously at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can write jokes like this. And I was hanging out and doing the open mic and I was helping like produce and film the show a little bit. And then I was like, you know what? I might as well just try it out. And I wound up being good at it. And then that led to like being on the television show for a couple seasons and like it helped open some doors. But I did the thing where I had the generals. I had, at the time, whoever the booker for Unrepped for JFL was came to one of the tapings. I lost that round. It was like season two where I lost to Frank on the show. But it was a great battle and it played super well in the room. And she introduced herself to me and she was like, send me whatever, send me anything like stand up wise. And I was like, cool. And so I sent her stuff and I was like, it's a sure thing, man. I got this. I'm going to be on JFL Unrep this year and nothing.
Yeah.
And then since then, but like, you know, I got eventually, like, I have representation and she like has submitted me and like never gotten it. I've been in stand 13 years now. I've been in LA 11.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not like, I still am here. If I want to do the thing that I still value the most and love the most artistically and comedically, like, I'm going to stick to that. Nobody's stopping me from doing that.
Yeah.
And then now I have like the game show, which is nice. Cause that has been like, it feels like it's a nice, merging of all of the things that I really like.
Well, you're getting to do a little combo of everything, right? Like, you're telling jokes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're improvising. You're in the moment. Mm-hmm. You're, yeah.
It's, and I'm writing.
Yeah, no, it's...
Because it's like creating this, like, fucked up... It's literally, it's a fucked up game show. So it's like, how can we make the people who are on the show, how can we put the screws to them and create comedy out of the tension of them being... In a fucked up situation,
which yeah, it's a great idea, man. Yeah, I definitely should have listened to an episode before you came on, but you didn't listen to an episode of this, so we're
square.
I fucked up last episode. You know KDK?
I do.
Yeah, very funny. She came on the show, and she was like, she started talking about her podcast. I was like, oh, you have a podcast? She was like, yeah, for 6 years. I was like, I need to fucking. Do a little Googan before I bring people up.
Maybe.
But I feel like you're a guy who's like, I've been here for 5 years and I feel like I keep running into you in weird, like it was the AGT thing as I think where we met.
That's where we met. Yeah.
That's where we met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that was such a fucking weird experience.
What a weird time.
Yeah. Like it's like my biggest credit. And also like, I'm a little ashamed. I don't know how to feel about it totally.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, it's a, I know. I just remember we did that weird show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember who put it on.
It was Sethward, who I just saw the other week.
Who's like, he now he's like a staple on the fucking
show.
He's a show.
Guy, yeah. He can show up dressed as whatever animal he wants and they're going to put him on.
Does he have money from it?
I don't think so.
That's the thing.
He's got.
How do you turn this into money?
He's got a Patreon. I ran into him. I was at a Patreon event and he has a Patreon.
What's a Patreon event? Like you only can go if you have a Patreon?
It's like for people who have Patreons, but also I went, my cousin and her husband have a barbecue YouTube channel that's pretty big. And so
a barbecue?
They
just barbecue shit?
They just barbecue shit.
And I fucking love that.
And they got invited because they have a Patreon page. And they got invited to, as like guests of Patreon. And she was like, hey, Jeremy can't come. Do you want to come be my guest at this Patreon thing? And I was like, yeah, sure. I could probably learn a few things. And then I saw Sethward there. And I was like, oh, hey, man.
Yeah.
Your mustache is on point. How are the animals?
His mustache is fucking on point. You mentioned a YouTube barbecue channel. If you had to start a YouTube page, but it had nothing to do with comedy. But you're just going to, like, become a guy on YouTube for this specific thing. What would it be?
Oh, my God. I mean, that's a tough question.
Like, it's not... This is not career-related. This is just, like...
If I had to go find something else... You know, honestly, you know what it would be? Because this is the kind of YouTube shit that I watch. It would be crap strategies.
Like, shitting?
No, craps. Like, dice. Gambling.
Because there is shitting strategies, too.
No. I mean, I feel like
what is the strategy? You fucking go like this, and you fucking push it out.
Why else does the squatty potty exist if not to offer a different strategy?
Well, you know, there's a strategy where, like, if you put your legs up, right?
Yeah, that's what the whole point of the squatty potty is.
Oh.
You put your legs up, and then it makes it easier. But there's also, like, you can just do that in a hole.
Sure. You could also like do a handstand and shit and just shit down your back. Like there's a lot of things you could technically try.
Yeah, you could.
This is not the point. Crap.
Take a shit underwater. I've done that.
Have you really?
I have.
Wait.
A summer camp.
Ocean? Pool?
Lake.
Lake. Lake is, you have no excuse, dude. People are going to be back at that lake. It's just sitting in that lake.
Well, here's what happened. I was like 15.
Okay.
And at the summer camp that I went to, part of the like, the big trip for the 15-year-old cabins
yeah.
was you get to go to this lake and you camp out there for like 3 days. You get a private island. You're hanging out.
This is a pretty big windup for a dude shitting in a lake. But
well, the counselors
all right.
were all like, you know what? You should try and do – they're telling all of us. They're like, you guys should try and do an aqua dump while you're here. You take a dump underwater. It's magical. And they were fucking around with us. But we were like, we're going to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so me and I think one other guy from my cabin did it. And we then like excitedly told our counselor that we took a shit in the lake while we were underwater. And he was like, what are you doing? You
can't tell. Yeah.
Well, we learned.
Did you get in trouble?
I mean, he was disappointed in us, but we didn't get like
wait, which counselor
from the lake.
But it was other counselors that told you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you, did you rat him out or did you just
no,
say?
No, he was the same guy.
The same guy that told you to take a shit in the lake and then you did it and he was like, I'm very disappointed in you?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Because I think he thought that we were going to think he was joking. And we were like, you can take a shit in a lake? You can take a shit underwater? We got
to
test this
out. Well, that's why you didn't get in fucking trouble. Because he would have had to have been like,
I told these kids to take a shit underwater.
Like, they did exactly what I told them to do.
I told them to do a reverse bidet.
Never done a bidet. I don't know how they work. I'm a little scared. How does it know where your asshole is?
You have to aim it. You got to dial it in.
Wait, what does that mean?
There's a little slider.
To be like, where is your asshole?
Mm-hmm. It takes a little trial and error. You got to aim it.
Do you ever like shoot water like up your fuck back or on your balls?
Sometimes it gets on my balls. It depends.
Does it hurt?
Not if you have the pressure super low.
If you go full press.
If you go full press.
If you go full press and hit your balls,
it would probably give a little bit of a sting. But it depends on what model of bidet you have.
Yeah.
I've got one of the manual ones, so that it can crank up.
Okay, but you're just sitting there, and you go like, where is my asshole approximately? Do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm.
Bidet, and then you're like, oh, a little bit more.
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
And it's shooting up your ass.
Yes.
And does it actually go up the ass, or is it just like kind of the rim?
No, it goes up.
It's in there.
It flushes it out.
Like you shit more when it goes in?
I mean, you're mostly shitting water, but there's like, you know, a little extra dust.
Oh my God.
But it's so clean.
No, I don't deny it. Like I can see why it's like healthy. Maybe healthy is not the right word.
I think it's healthy. It's sanitary. Better for your butt.
It's better. Than wiping like fucking dry paper.
No hemorrhoids.
Is hemorrhoids how you get hemorrhoids from toilet paper?
You can, because it's irritation.
I thought you get hemorrhoids from like trying to poop too hard.
But
accidentally shit out your large intestine.
That's more of a hernia.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hemorrhoids is just irritation.
Should I get a bidet?
Yeah. Everybody should get a bidet.
Do you have a bidet?
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you have a Costco membership?
I do.
You can get a bidet at Costco.
Fuck yeah.
You can get a good one. You can get a Toto. That's the Japanese kind.
Oh, the Japanese know what they're doing when it comes to butt play.
You can get a warm one. I got a cheap-ass cold water bidet.
Yeah.
Which is not, it's not horrible, but if you can upgrade, go treat yourself.
All right. Well, you had me at Japanese bidet at Costco. I truly do trust, you know, I'm a big, you know, they know what they're doing with porn. I feel like they know what they're doing with.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if it was like a picture of a naked dude with a bidet, but it's still blurred out.
It's blurred out. Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I'll do it. I like calling it a reverse bidet. Is there any possibility, this is another thought, because like girls can't really fuck in hot tubs because they'll get, what do you call them? Like UTIs.
Yeah.
What's the dude version? Like, can something bad happen to you if you shit in a lake? I feel like something could swim up there.
I feel like, I mean, nothing bad happened to me, but I do feel like if anything bad is going to happen to you in a lake, you're only adding to the chances of it happening by opening your butthole to the lake.
Yeah.
Because, like, the flesh-eating amoeba thing is the only thing that I can think of. But that could happen anyway. Because it can go through your ears, your mouth, your eyes, your nose.
I mean, the real thing that is terrifying in a lake is, like, what thing could live in the lake? Because if it lives in the lake, it's just always there.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one crocodile, you're like, I hope it's on the other side today. You only need one.
I've never been in a lake with a crocodile, though.
You don't think they could be in there?
I don't think they were in the lake that I was in. Well, maybe fish. I'd be worried about a fish swimming inside me more than anything else.
Like a little minnow gets up there.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Nah, you definitely don't.
I don't want to feel a little minnow wriggling around in my intestines.
That'd be tough stuff. It would be, you remember the part in Jackass where he puts a fucking toy car up his asshole and then gets the,
He gets the picture.
Yeah.
Is it the x-ray or the colonoscopy? Hey,
it's an x-ray. That's right. And there's a fucking toy truck in his fucking asshole. Yeah, a minnow would be funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Jay, this is as good a place as any.
What a spot
to end the podcast. Where can people find your podcast, your show, follow, support you online?
The show is called Wrong, a Fucked Up Game Show. You can find podcast episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We basically just release old episodes of the show. You can follow us at Wrong Game Show on all social media. And if you are someone who listens to this and you don't live in LA, we're starting to go on the road a little bit with it. So check us out.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome.
We might be in your city soon, or you can tell us where you want us to go and take our fun fucked up show to you. If you like dark comedy, you like game shows, you like us.
Is it on YouTube?
We have some clips on YouTube, but if you want to get full episodes, the only way to do it is subscribe to our Patreon.
Love it.
And you can follow me at Diet J on Instagram and TikTok. I'm not really on Twitter anymore. I gave up on it.
X. I stopped. Yeah, I'm I still X, post. X. I like post videos on it now just because like I'm posting other. I post reels everywhere, but like, yeah, nobody. I don't feel like people aren't really paying attention unless you're really looking to get like a good. Like beheading video, there's really no reason to go on Twitter.
If you don't want to see somebody, the only reason to watch Twitter is to watch somebody get dragged behind a truck. It's like, that's all you got.
That is, or that clip of that dude that blew his brains out at like the California guy.
Are you talking like, Bud Dwyer?
Yeah. I feel like that's your, if you're a Bud Dwyer guy and you want to check that out or see people get dragged behind trucks, Twitter's your spot.
Anything
otherwise,
that used to be only on LiveLeak, you got it on Twitter now.
Is LiveLeak the one? Yeah. What was the other fucked up one where you could always see?
I mean, there was E-Fucked. That was a classic one.
I never saw E-Fucked.
E-Fucked was mostly more, it was more like porny stuff, but you also, there was also like fucked up videos. And then there was
what's the live stream or
LiveLeak?
LiveLeak. Maybe I am thinking of LiveLeak.
I'm never thinking of LiveLeak.
Yeah,
LiveLeak had some crazy shit. We had a guy. Sorry, I know we're at the end of the podcast.
It's not a hard out.
We had a guy.
But I like to say that it is.
In high school, I did this thing where it was basically like, it was called Pep Boys, but it was basically like we would make fun of the football players at pep rallies, and we wrote these like sketches that like roasted the football players. And so it was all me and all the theater kids were doing the writing and the funny parts. And we had a team of people who were like the inside track on who was like the football players, what they were doing. So we could turn into jokes, right? And we were hanging out writing sketches one day. And we were like, let's watch some shit on YouTube. Let's watch some like SNL or something. And one of the guys goes, no, look up high school fights. We were like, what? And he was like, you guys don't watch high school fights? And he took us to YouTube and just Googled high school fights on YouTube.
You used to be able to get everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
There was a day, you said you're 33 and this was in high school?
This was high school.
Yeah.
Pretty good high school fights. And I imagine on LiveLeak, we also could probably, we watched a few high school fights there.
Yeah, we used to be able to watch, like, there was a time when I first went to college, which would have been 2003. You could go on YouTube and just watch, like, the Iraq War. You just be like, let's see how Fallujah's doing today.
Oh, yeah.
Just see, like, fucking missiles going into trucks.
You got a live stream. You can do the Panda Cam or you can do Shock and Awe Cam.
It's so funny that, like, now to, if you want to, I don't know what it's like to be a kid now, but I remember, like, being in college, people being like, have you seen Faces of Death?
Oh, man.
And just that kind of crazy
have
shit.
Have you seen Mr. Hands?
I haven't seen that one. Don't even tell me. I mean, there's one. The first one is Tub Girl.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Everybody's seen Tub Girl.
Everybody has not seen Tub Girl.
Everybody of our generation has seen Tub Girl.
Everybody from our generation has not seen Tub Girl.
What?
Because I will make a joke about Tub Girl once a month. Like, I'll be on a podcast. They're like, where can you find you? I'm like, tubgirl.com. And they're like, they just stare at me. I'm like, Eric Helwig. on it. Like,
I haven't thought about Tub Girl in a very long time.
People do not get the reference always.
Yeah. Well, that's on them, and they should go look up Tub Girl.
You know, it's crazy that we didn't It's crazy that we didn't just end it on you telling people where to find you. I was like, let's stretch this for three more minutes, as long as we can land on Tub Girl.
Hey, listen, I got a fucked up game show, and now we're probably going to wind up doing a Tub Girl centric.
You should
round.
Do a Tub Girl. Yes, 100%.
We'll figure it out.
It would be such a nostalgic thing. It's like Blink 182 getting back together.
But the only way you'll find out how we do it is at Wrong Game Show on all social media platforms.
Look at that. What a professional guy. Thanks for doing it, man.
Thanks for having me, Eric.